What's going on, y'all? This is Mike Brown, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning into the show. You know, y'all are here for me every week, getting me through these times, and I just wanted y'all to know that I'm here for y'all in whatever way you need. Please feel free to reach out on the social media, through email. Get in touch with me. I'm here for y'all. Know that none of us are going through this alone. Also, I just created a Patreon, so if y'all would like to subscribe to the Patreon, please do. I would love the support. Thank you so much. This is The Art of Letting Go.
Yo, what up? This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Today, I got a special guest in the building. We never met in person yet, but I definitely admire your page on Instagram, and you hit me up to be on the podcast. And yeah, we just started talking, and it just felt like it would be definitely a dope conversation to have. Could you please introduce yourself to the people?
What's going on, everybody? My name is Trey. I am the CEO and brand ambassador for Big Boy All Stars. It is a page of body positivity and loving yourself.
That's what's up. And I think, you know, it is that. And I think to make it more specific is like, it's a body positivity page of like men of color. And I think that's what makes it so dope, because, you know, you don't see that often. And for me, like since as early as I can remember, I've always been attracted to bigger guys. And, you know, when you think of like the image that's out in the community, it's usually that I see is like a white guy with a beard and a plaid shirt, you know. So to see you pushing something else and showcasing that differently, like, I really appreciate that. And I'm sure a lot of people do.
Yeah, thank you. Now that you put it in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very proud of the page. Just starting it almost 2 years ago, I didn't know what I was doing. I first started on Kick. I had a group page called Big Boy All Stars on Kick. And it was like for bigger guys to come in and chat and get connected with guys that are big and guys that like big guys. So for y'all who don't know, it's a thing that's called bears and chasers. Chasers are the guys that like big guys and that adore big guys. Of course, you know, bears are, you know, big, fluffy, you know, nice to squeeze and touch. and started there first, and then I decided to move it to Instagram, and the rest is history. Now we have Instagram, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have clothes. We are moving on to do events now, so it's definitely a blessing, and it's just crazy. I do thank everybody, like whoever followed Big Boy All Stars brand and just the love and just the support that I get. I do appreciate it from everybody.
That's dope. What inspired you to do it though? What inspired you to start the page?
Well, I'm a big guy, and I've always had this confidence about myself. And I wanted to mirror that while doing the Instagram page. I wanted to make sure that the page represented big guys like myself, and also big guys who are trying to push the envelope of feeling good about themselves.
I think that's really dope, because, you know, as you were saying that, I was thinking about, you know, a lot of the bigger guys that I've met you know, just in my time. And a lot of them do kind of lack that confidence or feel, not lack confidence, but I guess are a little insecure about their size.
Mm-hmm. And I get that a lot. I get a lot of guys DMing me, telling me, yo, your page is so dope. I'm trying to get more comfortable in my skin. Oh, I want to send you a picture so bad for you to post up for me, but I'm just shy and nervous. Like, I get that too. Like, and I never try to banter and like be like, just send me the pic, let me post you. Like, I try to be sympathetic and just understand where they're coming from. Like, it is a jump. Like, this page is open to the public. Anybody can see. And you have to understand, like, everybody have an opinion. People are going to come on the page, you know, not even the people that support, but it's going to be people who don't care about big guys. They're going to come on and make a mockery and make fun or whatever they do. Like, it's a big step to put yourself out there. But once you do, it's you just saying, I don't care what you got to say. This is me. I'm big. I look good in the skin that I'm in. And I'm on this page representing all big guys that look like me.
That's what's up. Where did you get your confidence from?
Oof. I got my confidence from my mom. Because my mom, she was big. And she was, honestly, to me, the most beautiful is a big girl ever. And she was huge. And my mom, she had a lot of health, you know, health issues. So she did undergo surgery that kind of messed her up in the end. Because she's no longer here. God bless her soul.
But sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so I just, this is my mom. She was very confident in the skin that she in, and she just lives, she just lives with not giving a care what nobody thought.
That's really dope. And that's, it's so crazy that we're having this conversation because, you know, my mom was big at more than one point in her life. Like, she always kind of like fluctuated between like being big and getting smaller and getting bigger. But Someone asked me the other day, you know, why am I attracted to bigger men? Like, is it a fetish? And I don't feel like it's a fetish, but I do think my attraction subconsciously comes from, you know, my mother being big, seeing my dad with somebody that's big, and even like looking at it as my mom was kind of like my first teacher of love, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So maybe all that's connected, I don't know. But I'm curious to know, to you as a big man, because as a black man in the community, I know what it feels like to be fetishized. But for you, because I'm sure you've experienced, what does that feel like?
Oh my God, you hit the nail on the head with that question. It feels a little bit like you're an object, because we do get guys who come on the page and hit us up, or let me just speak for myself for a second. Yeah. I get guys that hit me up, and it's damn, look at them titties. Show me them titties. Oh, damn, your lips. Oh my God. Like, it becomes a fantasy.
Yeah.
And also, I'm gonna, it's a fetish, but I'm gonna say it's a fantasy for a second.
Yeah.
Because we have men who wouldn't even typically go for bigger guys walking down the street. Like, and I say that to say, usually guys who hit me up, I know if I was walking down the street, they would probably look, but they wouldn't dare step to me, if that makes sense.
It does.
Now, if now because we're on the internet and the internet has become more powerful, and the internet makes people, what is it, get this little bit of a big head of confidence for them to come in somebody damn like myself and be like, yo, what's up with you? You fine, you know, you beautiful. But me looking at their profile picture and them fantasizing and talking about, you know, girls with, and I'm going on the left because I don't know what a lot of people deal with.
No, it's all good.
I deal with a lot of trades, and what trade is, men who has women, who has a family, but they fantasize with being with the opposite sex.
Yeah.
That's what a trade is. And I deal with a lot of trades that hit me up and be like, damn, you know, you beautiful. Damn, your titties, or you got some juicy ass lips. And it just becomes a cycle. And that, it becomes like you're just a fantasy. And sometimes you don't know who is authentic, who is real, who really want to get to know you for you, because it's like that's really all you get, mostly.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. Why do you choose to deal with trade still? Just knowing.
I wouldn't say I deal with them. I don't deal with trades. Now, I do have a lot of trades in my DM, but
yeah,
I don't.
Okay.
I don't deal with them. I don't entertain it.
Yeah. That's real. It does. It definitely does.
Yeah. Like, I know exactly what I want. I know exactly what morals and aspirations that I have. And all I have to do is hit them with one line, and then it seems like they flee. And the line that I hit them with is because I am and have been for 26 years is that I'm a virgin. So
okay.
When they be like, oh, let me eat you. Can I cuss on this podcast?
You can say whatever you want to say on this podcast.
Oh, let me eat your ass. Let me do this. Let me do that. I'm like, no, I'm okay. No, when you gonna let me fuck? That's never going to happen. Why that's not going to happen? Because I'm a virgin and I'm waiting for my one. And it's like a flea mechanism. All they go. Or they just fly away. Or they just, it's to the point where it's like I try not to even entertain it.
Yeah. One, that's really dope to hear that you are a virgin. And I don't think I've ever met a virgin in the gay community, so that's really dope to hear because it's completely opposite of that. But I'm curious to know, like, just how you able to maintain that?
Oh,
because I feel like sex is thrown in our faces 24/7, especially in the gay community.
Well, I feel like I make the sweetest love to myself. And I'm not trying to be funny at all. But I feel like, for me, of course I want that physical, you know, everybody does. But I'm trying to answer this to let it make sense. I was in a relationship, right? A long distance relationship. Like, he wasn't a state skip across the pond. Like, he was all the way across the pond. Like, I'm talking UK across the pond.
Oh, wow.
Right. So, it was him coming to see me going to see him. And the times that we did go and see each other, it never got to that point because it was so much built up. So before we even got to that point, it was like a, it just never got to that point. It never got to the penetration point, let me just say that.
Yeah.
And the guy that I was messing with, he was a full top.
Okay.
And what top is, for the listeners, tops is a person that's slain. They don't take it. So, and I really was preparing myself, like, to give him all of me. We was planning this trip for him to come here, and I really was, you know, prepping myself and getting myself together, getting myself ready, taking extreme measures, bought me a toy, everything, to prepare myself for this man, because he was very blessed in some areas that a regular person just couldn't take it. I'm being so honest. And he basically hit me up, and he was basically letting me know that he does not have an outlet. This man does not smoke weed. He's allergic to alcohol. So his outlet is sex.
Yeah.
And because we, out of the 3 years we was together, we've seen each other 4 times.
Oh, wow.
Right. So I was bound to my telephone with this man for a majority of that time.
How old were you at the time?
I met him when I was 21, and he was 30. He was 30.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to your younger self in that situation?
Regarding him?
Just in general, like 21-year-old you, what advice could you give him that could have helped him along the way?
Stay independent. Don't lose yourself over anybody, especially over a guy. And I feel like not just me, because I found myself losing myself over him. But I know it's a lot of guys out there who get caught up. And I don't think it's worth it to lose yourself.
I agree with that. I definitely do. As a Black gay man, what has been your biggest challenge in your life?
Being accepted.
Okay.
Being accepted. And
that's by just, like, society or like family, friends?
I feel like it's everything. Because a person can tell you that they're for you and that they accept you, but make them mad. Like, make them mad one time, and their true opinion and their true feeling will come out. I think that's my whole thing, because it's like my family is very religious.
Yeah.
And I do know that some of them is not really too happy. They love me, but it's not a genuine, I'm happy for you.
But that, and I understand it, but also, you know, for me is, and I guess because I've grown to love and accept myself, because that was my biggest challenge, loving and accepting myself. And when I got there, it was hard for me to accept less than that, you know, because yeah, people gonna feel how they feel, but if I love you through all your bullshit, you gotta love me through mine.
Yeah.
Cause that's just real love. Like, you know, we know what real love is, whether it's family, friends, anything. Like, we know what that shit is. And it's like, when people love you, like, rather than beating around the bush, kind of like I was telling you earlier with my dad, you know, not that he didn't accept it, he didn't understand me coming out. So we had challenges in the beginning. And for me, it was like, man, everybody in my life, I'm able to be myself, be comfortable around. But with my dad, we just not connecting. And it got to a point where I really had to like let him know how I truly felt. Like, you know, there's a disconnect here. And if it's going to be because of this, then we may just not need to interact for a while. And that's hard to say, that's hard to do. But at the same time, it gives you a chance to look at what you really want. And it gives that person a chance, like, what's really important to you. And I remember my dad called me, because we ain't talked for like a week, something like that. And he was calling me, and it was hard to not pick up. It was like, nah, like, if, you know, if he don't want this relationship because of my sexuality, then we just not gonna have it. And, you know, he called me and he was like, he just couldn't imagine not having a relationship with me. And we connected, and then we fell off again, you know, because he kind of just had a relapse. And then we had to have another conversation. And now it's to the point, like, just through communication and, like, you know, because it's definitely easy to, like, want somebody to understand you without really understanding where they coming from. And I know for me with him, like, I had to really understand what he was saying and where he was coming from and communicating, because he saw me a certain way, and his perception of what gay or a gay man was at that time was not me. It didn't make sense. So for me to show you something different is now redefining this for you. And now, you know, we in a totally different place. Like, my dad has met two guys that I've dated, love the last one. Like, you know, we in a whole different place. The net trans friends that I have and everything, and he don't have no issues, because we really like it. I really made it a point to say, if this person loves me, like, you know, we gonna have to do some work, and we not gonna be able to avoid this shit, because it's making me uncomfortable. And I, even though I've been outspoken my whole life, like, you know, I just always been that way in my family, with my friends, all that. Like, if I feel something, I just have to say it, or react to it in some kind of way. But I do understand that, yes, acceptance is very important.
That's dope. Well, that's good that you have a understanding with your dad. For me, like I told you earlier, I'm scared to have that conversation with my dad, only because I don't want him to think that he failed me.
Yeah. Do you think your dad doesn't know?
I honestly think he do know. It's just that he does not want to accept it.
Or like hear it vocalized,
or hear it come out of my mouth. Yeah, there you go.
And I'm gonna tell you at the same time, because I hear you, but I'm also like, what if that's just an assumption? Because if people in your family know, I'm sure somebody brought that around to him. Yeah, so he know, he probably just waiting to hear it from you.
I don't know, because I love my dad so much. You know, my dad is my world. Yeah. I would literally...
And I'm sure you his, too. I'm sure you his, too, you know.
It's... I don't know. I don't think I would come to terms of telling him unless I really need to. if that makes sense. I'd rather us just not have that conversation.
Yeah.
Even though I feel like he probably knows, I'm okay with him just, I'm okay with him just going ahead and not even bringing it up to me or me even bringing it up to him, because nothing changed.
Yeah. That's real.
Like, nothing changed. Like, I can tell my dad still loves him. He checks on me down there every day. Like,
right.
And for the listeners that's out there, because I know it's like a lot of people that's in the same boat as me, as far as like their dad, or even their mom, you know?
Yeah.
I want my listeners to know that your mama know, your daddy know. Now, they probably don't think it's true, but trust me, they know.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll have that conversation, but not today. I don't think it's gonna be next year. I don't think it's gonna be next year. I don't think it's gonna be the year after that. But we're gonna see how it goes.
Yeah, because I mean, if you meet somebody and you know you fall in love and stuff, like, I'm sure you would want your partner and your family to all be connected.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, you got me thinking about that, man.
I mean, and like you said, it ain't gotta be today. And I will tell you a tool, like, and you know, granted, I probably came out later than you. I was also in a different place in my life. A tool that really helped me with all of this was therapy and my mm-hmm. close friends and my, you know, like you said, your sister was the first person you came out to. That was the first person I came out to. And for me, it was like, well, shit, if my sister's okay with it and I'm coming to terms with it, like, who cares what anybody else thinks? But then it was almost like I felt like I was building my own army, because as I would share with the people I loved and they really was accepting of me, it was like, shit, I got all these people with me against the world. So it's like, you know, you got your army, you got your support system, you're going to be good. But I know therapy was that thing that really helped me with being able to communicate things, being able to understand things, and really being able to like heal and work through shit. Cause yes, that shit is challenging. I remember, and really what's funny is, and it's not funny, but my mom kind of outed me to my dad, and not with bad intentions, but it was just like, you know, she knew that I wanted him to know, but I didn't know how to tell him. And she ended up telling him, like, but this was like months down after, like, this had to be like maybe, shit, it had to be around March, because I came out October 2012, so it had to be like March 2013. And I remember he called me and he was just like, so your mama told me you gay? And I was like, yeah. And we kind of just left it at that and hung up the phone. And I remember just like crying, like, all night. I think I was in like San Francisco or some shit for work. And I just remember crying. And then like the next day he called me and we had a conversation, and like, you know, he let me know he still loved me, but then he was also like, he had questions and shit like that. And it was just like, you know, it's a process. It's a process for sure. For everybody.
And I don't think I'm ready for those questions.
And that's the thing. You don't have to be. Everybody's journey look different. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's journey look different.
Let me ask you this, because a lot of people who look into the community, they feel like something had to have happened to us as a child, to us growing up. Like, do you have that same theory? Like, when your father came to you, was that one of his questions? Like, did something happen to you? Like, was you ever touched?
Nah, he just was, like, more confused, because he was just like, you know, you so masculine, which I have heard that before, you know. And I think, I think it's all in who you talking to too, you know? And, you know, you could be as real and as honest as like, not, I mean, you know, with whatever, you know, your truth is, but at the same time, it's like, nah, I don't think everybody is gay because they were touched or no shit like that, you know? And I think that's the myth. That's the myth that's sold. So, you know, if you got a different story, share your story, because people need to know that whatever they have created in their minds, or whatever society has created in the minds of people about being gay and black, like, that shit has to be destroyed. And I think that's why I do what I do, like with this podcast and just with everything that I do, how I carry myself, is because there has only been one image of a gay black man put out in the world, and we are not monolithic. It's not just one type, you know what I mean? So I feel like for me, because I didn't have no gay role model growing up, I didn't have nobody to look at and say and identify with and see myself, you know, because I was playing sports, I was quote unquote masculine, I was into rap, I was into this, into that. And now I get to be that for my younger self, because I know I'm still out there somewhere. So I have to show, like, yes, you can be what you see. You can be masculine. You can be feminine. You can be whatever it is you want to be and still be you. Because I think at the end of the day, that's what it really comes down to, is just being yourself, being your most authentic self, because that's all you got.
That is very much so true. And it came a point in my head where when I decided to tell my sister, just really just not even give a fuck.
Yeah.
And it's only two people judgment that I honestly care about, which is my sister and my dad.
Yeah.
But for me, it was to the point where I just did not care. Like, I did not care what nobody else outside of them thought. And I didn't want to let life pass me by without living in my truth.
Yeah. I understand that, and I feel it too, because, you know, I for sure, like, to be honest with you, growing up in the South, I was in denial about it. I was in denial about even being gay. Like I said, I was playing sports. I was hanging with all the dudes that was like with all the girls and shit. So I was just like not even thinking about being gay, but also being in a locker room and like trying not to get caught looking at nobody, and just, you know, it was a lot to experience, and it was hard to comprehend. But then when I moved to LA, that's when I started meeting guys that were, you know, like me, and they identified as gay, and it just blew my mind. And not as much anymore, because I really feel like I've finally gotten to a point where I'm accepting of me. So I'm just accepting of like everything and whatever. And not that it's my job, but sometimes I do feel that I have to educate people on things, so when they do encounter the next gay person or whoever they encounter, like, they don't treat them away off of what they believe that it was.
Well, let me ask you this, because I remember you touching on it in our text messages. You were saying something about, I guess in the beginning, that you were only dealing with older men.
Yeah.
And you said that was it to fill a void with your father, or just replace, like...
To be honest with you, I think subconsciously, because it wasn't like I was really just going after older men because, like, yeah, my daddy older and I'm gonna just do this. I think subconsciously, like, I was looking for some guidance, maybe. I don't know. Like, I think I was just looking for a connection with the older man, because I didn't feel connected, maybe. I don't know. But when I like I said, when I started going to therapy, that's when I realized, like, damn, I really got daddy issues. And that's why I'm like seeking these older men, which I'm still attracted to some older men, but it ain't like when I was younger and I was just falling for any older man and any older man's bullshit. Like, I think I didn't see myself on the level of an older guy when I was dating them. Like, I almost saw them above me. And like, now I understand it as whoever the fuck I'm dating, like, we on the same level. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I look at it different, but I think I also was in that space because I just didn't have that connection with my father. I didn't feel like I had that connection, because I can't say on his end if he felt like that. I know for me, it felt like a disconnect prior to that. So that's why I was there.
Okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up, because I do know it's, because for me, I feel like the reason why I usually deal with older guys, roughly nobody past the age of 50, but I usually deal with older men all because of what I bring to the table. I don't think no typical 25-year-old person walking down the street can deliver what I can deliver. I honestly don't think so. Like, I have my car that is paid for. I have my own place. Like, I have a decent job. Like, and I don't have time for the bullshit. And just with past experiences dealing with younger men, that's usually all they bring to the table. And granted, some 25, 26-year-olds have their shit together, because I'm one of them. So I'm not speaking on all of 25 and 26s, just mainly the ones that come knocking at my damn door.
And I think a lot of times, you know, because I'm not going to say at 25 or 26, I had my shit together, you know, and still to this day, I mean, I'm probably more sure of myself in my life than I was at that time. But I think at that age, most people trying to figure it out. And that's dope that, you know, you have a lot of your stuff figured out. And, you know, it just depends on what you're looking for at different points of your life. Cause I feel like it changes, you know. Because for me, you know, I may have been looking for one thing at 26, but at 30, it changed. And, you know, now at 33, it looks even more different. And I think it just keeps evolving. So sometimes you removing, because I'll tell you, like, being with older guys, I used to feel like, you know, I'm mature for my age. So being with somebody older is more more my maturity. But then when you start to get to know these people, they don't be that much more mature than somebody 26.
You absolutely right.
It's like being more understanding of, okay, what is it that I'm looking for so that I can see that as opposed to seeing somebody's age.
Right. And I feel like it comes with me, it's a mindset, like where your mind is at, you know? Yeah. Because even a 45-year-old, 39, 50-year-old, even they be fucked up in the head.
Yeah, because people don't be doing work in their lives. Like, that's what it comes down to. And, you know, I see that a whole lot within our community that, you know, people don't be doing the real work. I think that's why, I don't mean to offend, but if anybody listening is offended, you know, this is just my perception of it. But seeing somebody in the club, you know, three times a week, four times a week in their 50s, that's an issue for me, because I'm 33 and I don't like to be out like that. You know, I don't like to be getting drunk every night. I used to do it in my 20s, you know, but mm-hmm. at this point in my life, my priorities are different. So when I go out, when I was like going out heavy when I first came out, and even when I go out now, I still see some of the same people from when I was like going out regularly, and it's just like, and they be on the same shit. So, you know, to me that says like, what you running from, or what you trying to escape? And really, I don't know, you know. So I could completely have it wrong. That person could completely be enjoying themselves, but a lot of times people don't be looking too happy, you know, when they doing that shit.
Oh, and that be the old, and definitely shown to be older people in the club too. It's crazy, but I feel like with me, you have to know exactly who you are, and you have to be content of A, who you are and where you're going in life. And I feel like I've met a lot of older men who they don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And it comes back to trade, but not really though. It's just the point that they don't, I'm just speaking on me.
Yeah.
They don't want to accept who they are, if that makes sense.
It does, and you know, I think you probably come into a place where that's not enough for you to be around somebody like that. Because I know for me, it got to a point where it felt like dealing with somebody that wasn't out was starting to pull me back in, and I just didn't want to go there. So I just had to like cut it off altogether.
Mm-hmm. And that's the harsh reality. Like, and there's so many men, like gay men, who's out and comfortable with their sexuality and comfortable in the skin that they're in, deal with the same exact thing, but it's just the bullshit that comes with it, the lies, the promises, you know?
Yeah.
But it's the point that you just can't get caught up into it. You can't get caught up.
And that is the truth. I think, you know, I think for all of us, because myself included, when somebody's showing you who they are and what they offering, you kind of have to accept it, and it's challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
Because somebody will be telling you that they're not looking for nothing, and you know, I think we get in our feelings and we start feeling different or feeling like something is going to change. And it's like, nah, let me just take this motherfucker's word and show me something different, then I'll take that different.
So let me ask you this, because you are masculine, and walking down the street, I probably wouldn't even tell if you was a gay man or not. So, what catches your eye as far as someone that you may be interested in? Because I'm pretty sure the listeners want to know.
I mean, I would say looks for sure get me first. I mean, you know, I'm definitely like attracted to somebody that's attractive, but I think after that, it kind of comes down to the personality. Cause I feel like I could, if somebody can get me with personality, like sometimes looks don't be as important, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest thing for me. Like if you just showing me who you are and I like who you showing, that really gets me going.
Okay.
At this point in my life, you know, I'm not going to say that I've always been like that, but at this point in my life, yeah, like be able to make me laugh, be able to have a good conversation, you know.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Like, do you have like a, I'm not going to say a cutoff, but would you get to know like a what is it? I'll try not to offend anybody. Like a trans woman. Would you get to know a trans woman? Would you
like a man that transitioned to a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Not for dating, no.
Not for dating, okay.
Just because I'm not into women. So it would now a transition from a woman to a man, I would consider it.
Okay.
I would.
Okay. And can we speak on that for a second? Because I do know it's a lot of trans women that go after gay men, and some gay men does oblige. Do you think it's just their preference, or do you think it's the gay man who probably is like bisexual if they still want to be involved with a woman? Because when I think of a trans woman, I look at her as like a sister. I won't see her as a sexual desire at all.
I don't know if, I mean, I know for me, like it, like just a woman wouldn't do it for me, but yeah, I don't know if that would be. I mean, because I'm not well versed in like, you know, being trans and, you know, just the community in that way. Because I really don't even know a whole lot of gay men that are open about being with trans women, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah.
That's an interesting question, though. Very interesting.
Yeah, because I see it a lot. Because I'm from Florida, and I see it a lot here, and especially in Georgia. So.
Yes, and see, I think our demographics are different than, you know, the South, because out here, you know, I'm sure that, I mean, out there, I'm sure it's spaces where you have like specific black scenes and then you have the everybody. But out here is like really just white or mixed, and it's not really any black spaces like that. So, you know, you kind of, I would say the community is kind of guided by whiteness, maybe. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's kind of how I feel.
Gotcha.
And yeah, I am saying that right. Yeah, it's kind of led by whiteness, just to be real.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I don't know. It's so much to learn and so much to, and I think that's why I just like talking to people and like listening to people and understanding like just people's experiences and just their perspective, because I learn something all the time. I feel like I learn all the time.
Yeah, it's good to learn and take from each other, especially knowledge, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's something that's important to me, you know, with a partner as well, because it's like I see a lot of times, or people tell me, just people that I've been with in the past, like, that they learn things from me, or, you know, and that's cool, but I also want to be able to look at like what I learned from somebody else as well, and not like a self-taught lesson, like something that I picked up from them.
What's your biggest battle as far as you being in a relationship, of like your past experiences? Like, what do you think your biggest battle with yourself is?
I would say in past relationships, it was self-worth. It was definitely me sometimes not feeling worthy of the relationship, sometimes not feeling worthy of the person. Sometimes, like, you know, letting somebody dog me out because I think they, you know, are God's gift to man. But I think that's probably been my biggest. And like now I would say, like, being single, my biggest challenge is like really wanting to focus on myself right now and not really feeling like I have the capacity for a relationship. And I want to say it's because when I came out, I was in a relationship maybe like 6 months after that. And I've been kind of in and out of relationships for like the last, shit, I don't know how long. Like, when I got out of my first relationship, I was out of relationship for a year maybe, and then back in one. But in between that, I was always dating somebody, like constantly just dating. So now I'm just like, I really just want to be. And like taking this time to be has really been forcing me to focus on myself and to like say, hey, you don't have no distractions. So now you have to focus on this, or you have to focus on, you know, your passion, your career, your relationships with your friends, your family. And like focusing on those things for me is like really more fulfilling than like just the chase or the game of a relationship. Like I feel in a space where like I don't have to exert a whole lot of energy into another person. And like I really feel like it feels good. And I know that it, I don't know why that makes me feel uncomfortable to say, like, because it feels selfish, but it's also like, this is what I need in my life right now. Like, anytime I've jumped in a relationship, I've always put like all my energy into that person. And now to be putting all that energy into me, it's like, whoa. So I was kind of dependent. I was very codependent in relationships. I would say, like, I definitely depended on people to like just be there for me emotionally and shit, which they're supposed to, but like, I feel like I might have been overly with that. And now, you know, I've had to like learn how to like deal with things on my own. And it feels good, like, to not have to rely on another person so much, because sometimes when you lose that person, you kind of get lost. So I feel like I do get to
You said a mouthful. You said a mouthful. Oh my God.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like next time when I do this, I won't be getting lost. Like, I'll be okay.
And it's dope that you even, you know, like, you are aware of what you needed to do. Because some people, they know what they need to do, but they did not take any initiative of getting to where they need to be. So that's really dope that you are at that place and you have knowledge of where you're trying to go, and you're not trying to have any distractions or anything. And it's good. I'm not going to say that's selfish. I think that is very smart.
I appreciate that.
And it's strength, honestly, to know that you were once weak at something, and now that you are aware that you can do whatever you want to do or everything that you need to do, because you have learned to be in that headspace, that's nothing but scrap.
I appreciate that.
So kudos to you, buddy. That's dope, though. Well, yeah, especially when you were saying that sometimes when you depend on somebody so much, when you lose them, it's like you become lost. And I've been in a situation where, like I said, I lost myself before. And losing yourself can come in a lot of ways. But in this particular instance, being with an older guy and my first love, You know, I was lost.
Yeah.
And when that relationship sunk, I felt myself sinking as well, because I've learned so much from that person. And now it's like, what am I going to do? Oh my God, what's going to happen next? Like, you can get so, I'm not even going to call it mind fucked, but you can get so used of somebody to become normal to you.
Yeah.
Like, them being in your life has become normal, but truth be told, everything in this life, it does not last forever. Especially, you know, it's good to, let me say, okay, so you can be with somebody, you can find somebody that can last forever. But when I say nothing in this life lasts forever, as far as even like with a relationship, like even the dust settles on that, your car fuck up, nothing lasts forever. You know, so it's good to focus on yourself just so you can know what you need to do.
I agree. Trey, what is the biggest piece of advice or the biggest lesson that you can share with the listeners that you gained on your journey?
Be fearless. Be fearless, and also stand in your truth. I feel like with me doing what I'm doing with my movement, Big Boy All Stars, I feel like I'm the vessel of it. And in order to be the vessel, you have to be strong, and you have to know that this is something that you believe in, you know? This is something that you want your followers or the people that support you to believe in also. So as long as you stand on it, and you stand on it knowing that this is what you believe in, this is something that you love, this is something that you truly, like, don't give a fuck about what nobody think about it. I feel like that's really all you need, and that's for anything in life. Anything that you're going for. If you're in school, if you're going for that bachelor's degree, that, you know, that master's, like, as long as you believe in what you're doing, and you headstrong in what you believe in, nothing should matter. Nothing should stop you from reaching it. And at the end of the day, as long as you believe in it, that's all that matters. Because what you believe in, people will follow suit. Even just like with your podcast, you believe in your podcast, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, because you believe in it, you have people to come on your podcast. Now they believe in it. And because you believed in it so much, you build your Instagram around your podcast. I go on your Instagram, I'm looking at all the content of your podcast. Now I believe in it. So you have to truly believe in whatever you're doing, and people will fall suit. Trust me. I never thought that my movement page would even get past 100 followers. Never thought. I started selling shirts, I never thought that I would sell. I never thought that I would sell five. You know, it's crazy. Like,
that's dope.
But anything can happen. Like, honestly, my biggest lesson is just believe in yourself, if anything. Always believe in yourself, because it's all that it takes is yourself to make your dreams come true.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Shoot, where can the people find you?
Okay, well, you can find me at Big Boy All Stars on Instagram. On Facebook, I am Big Boy All Stars Brand on Facebook. And for my freaky people, you know, my Big Boy All Stars, we can get a little ratchet. You can find us on Twitter at Big Boy All Stars. Now, I don't expect your ass to follow me, because you ain't ready for that. You ain't ready for that. But for all the freaky people out there, definitely hit us up on Big Boy All Star. Anything Big Boy All Star, just Google us. You will see us.
That's what's up. Yeah. Trey, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my God. I feel like I have talked. Hopefully I don't sound stupid, y'all, but y'all, thank y'all so much for bearing with me. I know I'm all over the place, but I'm a Libra, so I'm like in my head a lot, but I do appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I'm a Libra
too, so that, you know, my listeners are okay with being all over the place.
You a Libra?
Yes, I am.
What's your birthday?
October 11th.
Oh my God, mine's the 16th.
That's what's up.
That's what's up. So you a Libra, okay. We took the scale. But thank you so much, and I really do appreciate what you're doing. I wish you a lot of success with your podcast. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you, listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Trey, and thank y'all for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go. Peace.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of The Art of Letting Go. If you like what you heard, please be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to this podcast, and leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Let other people know what you think as well. If you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on all social media at The Art of Letting Go Podcast. Also, you can send me an email, theartoflettinggopodcast@gmail.com, or give us a call. Leave a message. We might play it on the show. 213-394-2773. Also, if you would like to support The Art of Letting Go, we got some really cool merch, as well as we're now on Patreon. You can find us, The Art of Letting Go Podcast. Subscribe to us. Thank you guys for listening. This is Mike Brown, and this is The Art of Letting Go.